Welcome to Under the Hood, where we aren't afraid to pop open the hood and inspect the important parts of life. I'm your host, Sanaa Hood, and today I'm here with
Lauren
and Alana.
If you saw the title, you probably already realized that we're Christians. So to just start off the podcast, I wanted you to get to know us a little more. Mm-hmm. So we're each going to tell like a little summary of our testimonies. So whoever wants to start off can go ahead.
Okay, I'm being looked at right now, so I can go first. So I grew up in a Christian family. My parents were both pretty involved in the church that I went to growing up. We had Bible studies at my house. My entire family would go to church every Sunday. So it was a pretty significant part of my life. And for that reason, and also I think just as I got into my teen years, I don't think I ever struggled too much with intellectually believing in evidence that there is a higher power. I think that always made sense to me. But what I did struggle with was understanding what it actually meant to have a personal relationship with God. I think for the longest time, God was just sort of background noise to me. Just some context for like my family background, I guess. My family was very broken growing up. My parents did not have a good relationship. And as I got older, that kind of ended up with me having very broken relationships with them as well. And so, once I got into middle school, I really struggled with anxiety and depression. I think growing up, because I felt like I was lacking a sense of security and felt like I was lacking love from my parents, I think that actually ended up with me making them an idol. I did everything for them. All that I did, all that I wanted was based on what they wanted for me. And so, I think it ended up with me feeling very existential in middle school, basically. I realized my parents were not that perfect. I realized that they're very broken. I think that's what ended up causing that kind of few year period for me. And during that time, I think I realized that with my parents out of the picture, I really didn't have a sense of purpose. And so I really began to see myself and clearly, and I saw my need as a very broken person for God. Over those few years, I really struggled with myself and having to face who I actually was. And then in my sophomore year, I made a salvation decision. Even though I don't think I understood everything, I think what I did understand was that I wanted God to be at the center of my life, whatever that meant. And I really wanted to seek after him genuinely. And so, I made that decision then. But then coming into college, I kind of got sucked into college life. And I really felt lost and I didn't know how to bring God into the center of my life. And then getting plugged into our church here, we ended up going to a winter retreat my first year, and I felt really spoken to because I just realized that I had become very arrogant over the years, that I really blamed a lot of my sins on my parents and family, that I really held on to a lot of parts of my life away from God, that I was kind of, just wanting control over my own life. And so during that winter retreat, I decided to make what we would refer to as like a lordship decision, basically a recommitment to God. And so, that's sort of my background leading up to college. And now, Alana, would you like to go?
So, similar to Lauren, I also grew up in a Christian household. My mom was like one of those very fiery, strict parents. So I think like not being Christian wasn't an option for me in my mind. Like, if not Christianity, then I can't be anything else, because then that would make my mom mad.
People
perceive me as versus like what God perceived me as. The church I went to growing up was Pentecostal, which if you haven't been to Pentecostal church, they're very loud and expressive, and I'm a very introverted person. So seeing people in church, it just intimidated me, honestly. Also growing up in the South, everyone I knew was Christian, in quotation marks, but that wasn't how they were really living their lives from day to day. So I think my perception of Christianity was really jarred. And I just thought Christians were very hypocritical. And in addition to that, the idea that I could never meet up to this idea of Christianity that I had in my mind. So I kind of just thought I could get by being, like, lukewarm. And I didn't really want to think about it more. Even though, like, the idea of death and stuff, like, really scared me. Yeah, I have no segue for this. But, you know, then I get to college. My first year was really bad. I was really isolated and no one to depend on. I wasn't acting Christianly or living out a Christian life. But then I transferred my second year and my friend dragged me out to church. And, you know, my mom, that very devout, fiery Christian lady, she's like, you gotta find a church when you get to Chicago. If anything, you gotta get in church. And I'm like, okay, mom. But I wasn't I wasn't actually like thinking about it. I was like, okay, whatever, like, I'll go find a church and then I'll go for a few services and then I'm over it. And it really shook me to my core. I guess it radicalized me in a way. And I think since then I've been able to like ask questions that I was too scared of asking before. I learned more about what it means to have my own faith, and it not being like my parents' faith. Because there was a lot of stuff I did just to please them. Like, going to church in general was so hard for me in high school. I hated it, which is interesting now because I think I'm always present at church service these days. But back in the day, it was like, you couldn't pay me enough money to go to church. And then I also got baptized high school because my mom was like scared of me going out into the world without being baptized. So I did it to please her again. But, you know, then when I got here, I got to write my testimony and I got baptized in March this year. And that was all me. That wasn't her telling me to get baptized. So, yeah, that's my testimony, basically.
Yeah. Ooh, gosh. Yeah. I did not grow up Christian. Both of my parents were raised Christian, but it just didn't really pass on, I guess, when they had us. So we didn't really go to church. Maybe Christmas, you know, holidays, stuff like that. But I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in him. I didn't like going to church. And then I think elementary through middle school, my parents' marriage got like really rocky. It was just very messy. And I feel like, yeah, even though I didn't believe in God, I found myself getting angry at him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why did you make my life this way? Mm-hmm. And I think I have a tendency, or at least in the past, I think I'm getting better at it, but I had a tendency to, like, try to escape from my problems. So when things were rocky at home, I turned to academics. Mm-hmm. And then things weren't so good at school, just, like, hanging out with people who weren't the best for me. So then I was like, where do I go now? And then there was a big, colorful building next to my sister's high school. And I'm like, what is this? And then I realized it's a church. And I'm like, well, okay, I don't care. but then, like, a year later, I realized that one of my best friends at the time went to this church. And I was like, cool, I can hang out with her another day of the week. So I just started going to, like, escape from home life and academics. And so I went every Sunday. I stayed after to babysit. I volunteered at any event they had. And it did start off as, like, just needing a place to be. And I think eventually I did start believing in God, and kind of just not really having anger in my heart towards him. And I think it did get me through a lot. But I feel like my relationship with him was still very weak. And I was the type of person who thought, as long as I
believe in God, as long as I go to church on Sunday and I volunteer and, you know, I'm a good person in a way, then I'm Christian. And I was like, that's it. But when COVID hit and everything went online, that's when I realized just how weak my relationship with God was, because it was able, I was able to stray from Him so quickly because of that. Yeah, so I didn't talk to God. I didn't try to grow in my faith or like pursue Christianity anymore for 2 years, my junior and senior year of high school. Yeah, and during this time, my mom actually got diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was something that, like, runs in the family. Like, my grandma also had it. Yeah. She ended up, you know, recovering. She got surgery. They caught it very early on. And then, this is literally a terrible segue, too. Yeah, and then I went to college. I thought about going to church, but I'm like, oh, I don't really feel determined to do so. But the summer before first year, I met Lauren on a career trek, and so we reconnected first year because we were in the same dorm and we had a class together, and she invited me to like a dinner that this church was having, and I was like, free food, of course I'm gonna go. And I think even though I wasn't really sure if I wanted to pursue Christianity anymore, I think I started coming every once in a while just because the church that I went to back home, I think people are not as interested in like getting to know you. Like when there's a new person, you kind of just like blend in with everyone and no one really goes up to you and talks to you. But I feel like the church we go to, like, they wanted to know who I was. And even though I wasn't sure if I wanted to pursue Christianity or God, I was like, these people are really cool and they want to know me. Yeah, so that's how I got into it. But I still wanted that ideal college experience, so I partied, drank, did drugs, like everything like that. And it was good for a while, but then I started to feel that loneliness element. I think it was like me trying to fill this void through partying, and it just wasn't satisfying. Yeah, and then so I decided that that wasn't for me, but I kept going. And then the summer before second year, I actually had like, I found like a lump on my body, and you know, getting cancer was actually something that I always had like a fear of. And so, you know, I went to the doctor, it ended up being just a scare. It was nothing. But I think that scare made me realize that tomorrow isn't really guaranteed. And I just looked back on like how I was acting first year, and I was like, this isn't how I want to be. And you know, if I like, you know, yeah, life can be short, and if I just never go back to God, I know I'm going to regret it. So that's when I decided to just give Christianity a try again and like really pursue it seriously, going into my second year. And yeah, it's been great. I also got baptized in March with Alana. Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's just been going upward since there. I don't think it's like been easy or like rainbows and butterflies, but I think I'm a lot stronger in my relationship with God now. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I find being able to be confidently Christian in college very difficult just because of a lot of factors. So I kind of wanted to see if this was something you guys felt as well. What do you think like prohibits you from being confidently Christian, if so?
Yeah, honestly, I think coming into college, I thought that this wasn't something that I struggled with. I think, like, in high school, I was part of Young Life, which is a national organization that has clubs at different schools. And so I don't think I ever struggled with simply saying that I'm Christian and identifying to people that I'm Christian. But I think what I did actually struggle with that I didn't want to admit was sharing more about my faith and going deeper about it. I think it's one thing to just label yourself, but then to actually talk about what that label means to you, that there's a lot more pressure and fear that comes with that. Yeah, I think I had to realize over the first 2 years of my college experience just how much I cared about what people thought about me. I think I was really arrogant in the sense that I didn't think it bothered me that much, but actually I realized it was a huge idol in my life where it was a huge obstacle for me in terms of growing in my faith, whether it was talking to friends about it or inviting people to certain church events or even just, I think, like, talking about how my college experience has been going, I found out that I just hid a lot of things or tried to filter a lot of things out because I was scared of, yeah, just the implications of what it meant to be Christian to other people. So it was definitely something I had to struggle with. Being confidently Christian, I think, is an interesting phrase because I think the definition of that phrase probably has changed for me. Yeah, I think our church is very big on sharing the gospel and evangelizing to people, and so that has been something that has really helped me to grow. I've really had to give up that idol of like my fear of people. I think I realized my fear of God was a lot less than my fear of people. Mm-hmm. And to me, I saw a huge like distortion there, right, in my faith. That's if I truly believe that God is my creator and that he's the highest authority in my life, then my fear of God should be bigger, if that makes sense.
I think when you're around other Christians, you kind of like feed off of each other and you're in an environment where it's made for you to be like comfortable talking about Christ, and you're like, oh, I know I'm going to talk about this, I won't get like judged or persecuted for it. But I think we live in a world where it's very anti-religion, and specifically in America, it's very anti-Christianity. Mm. So when I'm talking to people who, even if I may know them well, who just might not be religious in any way, or they're a different religion, it's kind of hard for me to feel that I can comfortably be the person that God has called me to be, because I'm afraid of their perceptions of me. I know sometimes when I'm talking to people and I know they're not Christian, I kind of keep it short and sweet. If they're like, oh, what'd you do this weekend? I'm like, oh, you know, hung out with some friends, went to church, and, you know, I did grocery shopping. Like, what did you do? Even some of my friends who do know that I'm Christian and, like, a devout Christian, sometimes it does feel a little awkward when they kind of say stuff like, oh, I bet you went to church this weekend, or things like that, which I know it can, it's not a bad thing. Like, I like being known as the Christian friend. Like, that's a nice thing to me, because I think before, maybe, like, in high school, a lot of people wouldn't. Well, I lived in the South, so everyone kind of assumed we were all Christian, but, you know, no one would be like, that's a Christly girl. Like, I see Christ in that girl. But my friends now, they're like, oh, yeah, I know Lana's probably going to be at church on Sunday, or, like, she's going to help out with her church with outreach or things like that. But it's still a little hard. I don't know. I don't think anyone really treats me too differently, and it's all in my head. But sometimes, I don't know, I don't want to offend people, or I know people have histories with church or religion, and I don't want to be pushy. Mm. But it's like, I'm not really being pushy if I'm just talking about myself. Mm. Something I have to get over.
Yeah, I feel like that's very relatable. I feel like also another element is just like, people think Christians are really judgmental. So I feel like whenever I tell someone I'm Christian, then they're going to shut themselves off from me and kind of like just not really talk about like those elements of their life that they feel like I would look at them sideways for. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, you don't want your friends to do that, because the whole thing is that like, you probably also dealt with the same thing. And so you want to be there for them, but then they're not letting you in that raw sense.
No, yeah. I think sometimes because of that, I kind of hit them with like, I don't go outright and I'm like, hey y'all, I'm Alana the Christian. I kind of like leave it. Like, I don't say it outright until I start like slowly adding stuff in, and like every week I start talking more about God, and they're like, wait a minute, something's Christian about her. Like,
I can't put my finger on it,
but I keep seeing her open that Bible app.
There's like a physical glow from her.
Yeah, maybe like a little halo or something.
A little twinkle in her eye.
Like, I gotta just, like, ease them in so they're not just like, oh, she's the Christian girl, I don't want to talk to her.
What I've realized over time is that actually people really don't care as much as you think. Like, I don't think I've ever once had an experience where I said I was Christian and the person's, like, whole, like, demeanor changed. And I'm not talking about strangers. I'm talking about, like, people that I'm already friends with. Like, if... I'm not gonna lie. If that person's whole demeanor changes and the way they treat you is different just based off of you saying that one thing, you might need to rethink that relationship from the first place. But second of all, I think people's, like, strong feelings are not as strong as you think towards Christianity. And a lot of it is really just, like Sanaa said earlier, just in our heads. And if you've actually been living out your life as a witness, then those people should actually have the opposite reaction of like, oh, actually, like, them being Christian, like, that makes sense. Or like, oh, like, that is what Christianity actually is all about, how this person is living their life out as. So
yeah, kind of similar to the whole, like, confidently Christian. I know that's something that we all have, like, struggled with. And I feel like something else that, like, you know, is a part of that whole struggle with being Christian outright is the whole ideal college student, the ideal college experience. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of just wanted to see, like, how do you deal with that? How do you battle FOMO? Yeah.
So when I think of, like, the ideal college experience, I mean, it can look differently for people, but I know it's definitely, like, getting your good grades, having a boo on the side, and then partying on the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna be honest, like, 2 out of 3 never interested me, like, besides getting a boo, but... but I know, like, in high school, you know, just the idea of my mom scared me enough to never try and do anything crazy. But in general, I'm pretty introverted to the point where I don't like going out and doing that kind of stuff. So, like, partying, drinking, drugs and stuff, I never get FOMO for that. I think, actually, this is, like, kind of off topic, but still talking about that, I think in those areas sometimes I am a little judgy. But, you know, I think that's something I'm still working on, where I'm like, you know, everyone's struggling with their own thing. Like, we all have our own issues going on, and I can't judge people for their sins because, you know, they're not supposed to judge me for mine, and everything's viewed equally under God's eyes. But that's not what this question is about, right? What else did I say? Academics, like, again, like, it's not that I never cared about getting good grades, because, again, immigrant parent was always on me, had to get honor roll and stuff, but just because I did get good grades, or because I do get good grades, doesn't mean that I like school, and I'm not willing to let it, like, take over my entire, like, happiness, or, like, steal away opportunities for me to go do other things that make me happy. The romance part, I'm not gonna lie, I'd be seeing the couples, and I'm like, man, I wish I had that. Mm-hmm. But then I think about, you know, it's different from, like, watching a movie and seeing a couple and you're like, oh, I want that. Look at that rom-com life. But then you have to realize that that's not real. Like, that's a movie. Somebody wrote that script. That's not anybody's life. And then I think about, like, the couples that I have known in my own life, and I'm like, they're not happy, though. Like, even though they're in a
Wait. She said, they're miserable.
She said, actually, FOMO, they're miserable.
I'm just saying that, you know, I look at couples, whether they're Christian or not Christian, and I'm like, they're still going through stuff. Like, just because they got into a relationship, it didn't solve all of their problems. Like, some people think, like, oh, I get married and I'm going to be so happy. And then they're still, like, you have to, there's something deeper than that. So, like, I think, you know, academics, romance, partying, drinking, drugs, that kind of stuff, they're all, like, escapism from dealing with the real problem. So I think sometimes when I see other college students living out that life and I'm like, man, maybe I should dibble dabble. I'm like, but it's not going to make me, like, eternally happy, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm good with, like, abstaining from things like that, even if some of them don't really, you know, interest me, just if it means that eventually I'll be, like, really happy and fulfilled. And even now, I think some people think Christian life could be boring, but I don't feel bored every week. I feel very happy. I think I'm the happiest that I've been my whole life, actually. So I don't need to go out and do those kinds of things just so I can live out my college experience, you know? Sometimes you don't have to... Okay, this sounds kind of crazy. But sometimes you don't have to go make mistakes to learn a lesson, you know?
I mean, Alana said this earlier, but I think I could relate in the sense that I never really was the type that loved going to parties. I honestly never loved the idea of even being in a romantic relationship. But ironically, during my first year, I felt like I needed to seek those out because everybody was seeking those things out. Mm-hmm. And I think that made me realize, oh, actually, maybe a lot of these people, they don't even like doing these things, but it's purely due to, like, peer pressure or society telling you, like, these are things you have to do in college. And I honestly, the FOMO came, right, not from me loving those things so much, but more, like, the dependence on, oh, I want to be like everybody else. Like, I care about what people think about me, and I want to be doing and liking the same things that they're doing and liking. And so, yeah, I did definitely struggle with needing to give those things up. And like Alana said, I don't think I needed to have gone to those parties and have, I don't know, been in certain conversations to know, like, yeah, to learn a lesson. That's just how it happened in my life. But I think in terms of, like, actually practically dealing with FOMO, I think this is why having a Christian community around you is so important. It's because you actually do need people to keep you accountable and also to be supporting you and being living the same values out with you. Because otherwise, I think if you're alone, yeah, it's, like, almost impossible to, like, deal with that FOMO. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think... yeah, like, having you guys and being able to, you know, present alternatives or even actually talking those feelings out with you guys, I think really helps to get down to, oh, yeah, like, actually, where is this FOMO coming from? Now, in terms of, like, spiritual disciplines and dealing with FOMO, I honestly think I really had to, like, learn that prayer and, like, journaling is actually something that really helps. Like, just because, like, I might think, oh, like, this feeling of FOMO is, like, stupid or, I don't know, like... God wants to hear everything, and so praying about, like, when I feel myself seeking things out that aren't necessarily godly but more worldly has really helped, because then it makes me also realize, like, there's still a lot of idols I have in my life. And yeah, I think then dealing with the FOMO more ends up becoming, like, dealing with, like, sins and, like, dealing with those idols and whatnot. Like, that FOMO, I think you can't force that to go away. I think as you grow in your walk, I think that naturally starts to lessen. So,
yeah.
I don't think you can force that, to be honest. Like, I think we can all relate to that. Yeah. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm not going to feel left out tonight. Like, that's not how that works. And I think, like, you have to keep praying about it. And you have to keep bringing it to God. And then you have to rely on, like, the community around you. So, yeah. Like, if you're surrounded by everybody... who's doing those things, of course you're gonna have intense FOMO. Like, that's only natural. That's why you have to have, like, other Christian friends that can, yeah, like, relate with you and that you can be honest to, like, in conversation. So,
Yeah, I feel like I can relate in certain aspects of what both of you said. I feel like I definitely for a while, very much enjoyed the whole partying scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, like, coming to college, like, I never, like, drank or, like, did drugs or anything or went to parties. Mm. But then when I got here, it was, like, this, like, whole new world. And so I felt like I liked it, I think. But then I realized I sort of became dependent on it.
Mm.
And I felt like even though during that time I wasn't really strong in my faith, I still had this, like, sense of, like, guilt in the back of my head.
Mm.
And so I was like, I know there's something I'm doing wrong,
mm.
but I don't care, is what I told myself. And then, like, I think as I started to try to be better as a Christian, you know, I slowly stopped drinking, but then I still went to the parties because I was like, you know, I'm not getting drunk, so, like, is really being there that bad?
Yeah.
And I don't think necessarily, just because, you know, it's not, like, this whole black and white thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think being there did make me realize that it wasn't as fun as I thought it was.
Mm.
You know, it's, like, the alcohol, the drugs kind of, like, put on these, like, rose-colored glasses to what the experience actually feels like.
Mm.
And I realized, yeah, it just wasn't for me. And I feel like even though I realized that, I still kept going because of that whole FOMO, because of the whole, like, not trying to miss out on the college experience. That was definitely something that was hard for me to, like, let go of and not care. Because I think it is very strange when, like, you have these friends who do party and you used to party with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they ask, are you pulling up Friday night? And you're like, no. It's, like, strange, you know? And you kind of have to, like, explain yourself, which was a little weird at first. But I think even though I had that sense of FOMO, it's kind of like what you said.
Mm.
After a while, you don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
Mm.
And you start to realize the alternative of, like, you know, kind of just, like, being closer to God or, like, doing an alternative, like, Christian activity or, like, something that doesn't have to do with those things. You start to enjoy that a little more.
Mm.
And then eventually I didn't find myself struggling between going out to a frat Friday night or staying in and, you know, partaking in fellowship.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I definitely think it's, like, partially, like, what both of you said. It's not what it really looks like. It's just, like, a little filler in your heart for, like, what you're actually missing. And then, like, praying and, like, realizing that there's something better out there. And you kind of just have to wait for that FOMO to pass, I feel.
Yeah. I think also it's, like, what you mentioned about needing to, like, explain yourself, or I think that part is hard because if you're simply just cutting it out because of guilt, right, I think that is really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you actually have to know why you're doing it, right? Like, okay, yeah, partying itself, like, you could argue, right, that, like, that's not that bad of a thing. Like, that could be something that, I don't know, it's harmless, whatever, but, right, for each of us, I think what we realize is, or, I guess not Alana.
Alana said she didn't struggle.
But, like, Sanaa and I realized, you and I realized,
was that, like, oh, we're going to parties because we're trying to fill some part of us that is actually supposed to be filled by God. And that's what makes it bad, right? Like, that's what makes it, like, oh, yeah, something is off. So it's, like, if you're just trying to cut things off because you feel guilty and you just want to cut it off for the sake of cutting it off, like, I don't think it's going to work. I think you actually have to, like, like, figure out, like, yeah, why am I seeking after this or this? You know, it doesn't have to be partying or romantic relationships, but just, like, whatever it is. It could even be something, like, good. I don't know. Like, hanging out with your friends all the time, but then neglecting God. And it's, like, so it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think it's, like, a good struggle to go through, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I was gonna say that, like, that whole kind of process of you, like, stopping partying and that kind of thing, it just really reflects, like, the process of struggling with sin and, like, letting go of sin. Just, like, realizing or analyzing why it is you're doing this thing, and then realizing, like, once you're out of it, that, like, oh, like, my life is good without it. Like, this is a stronghold on me, and I just let that go in my life. Like, even, like, the rationalizing of it, of being like, well, I'm at the party, but I'm not drinking, but then being like, but like, why am I at the party?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's something all Christians can relate to, even if they didn't go partying.
Yeah, so we've kind of like addressed this earlier, just like some common misconceptions about Christianity. We've talked about like judgment. Are there any other really big misconceptions people have about Christianity that you've heard before or that you even maybe thought before your walk with Christ? Mm-hmm. And then if you kind of want to, you know, be like, actually, this is false. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Misconceptions. There's so many.
There's a lot. I think one that I see a lot is that a lot of, well, it's kind of true. It depends on what Christians you're talking to. Mm-hmm. But a lot of Christians see themselves as like faultless or like perfect. Mm-hmm. And there's variations of it too. Some of them are genuinely like, I can do no wrong. Like, I'm Christian. Mm-hmm. Then there's others who, which, you know, God says that, you know, once he forgives you of that, that's old. It's in the past and you have to move forward. But I think some people, they accept that part, but then they don't accept the part where you kind of have to, like, I don't know, like, apologize or, you know, not that you can do things to make up for it, but let's say you killed somebody.
Okay.
And then you become a Christian and you're like, oh, well, that's the past. That's not me anymore. I don't kill people anymore. But, like, go make amends with the family of the person you killed. I don't know. I feel like that's something God calls us to do, is, like, treat others as he treats us, and that's showing kindness and showing love, so... Yeah, and then there's just some who are, like, genuinely hypocrites, but, you know, they're going through their own struggles. Everyone struggles with hypocrisy, you know?
Not gonna lie, I lost it with that murder.
Okay.
I didn't really catch the point of that one.
Were you kind of, like, saying that, like, yes, God forgives us, but there's a lot more that you need to do?
Yeah.
Repent to God.
Yeah, like, I'm giving another example. If I really hurt your feelings, and then I go to God about it, and then he forgives me, but then I never address it, like, if I'm just, like, good with God, but then I'm not good with you, then you're gonna feel some kind of way, you know? I don't know. Jesus would go and be like, yo, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that to you.
Yo, my bad, bro.
You're talking about the misconception of where certain Christians feel as though they're faultless because they've already made, like, for instance, a salvation decision.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's like, oh, I've already repented, therefore I don't need to continue to, like, see myself or identify as a sinner anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. I think I can definitely see that playing out. I think something that I had to realize in college was that actually repentance is not a one-time thing. Mm. Like, Jesus dying on the cross doesn't erase the fact that we're a sinner. It just means that we're forgiven. But we are children of God because of what Jesus did for us. And Jesus did that on the cross for us because we're always sinners, like, inherently, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then it's like, yeah. I think that misconception stems from, like, what you said, from that murder example.
I'm sorry. But, like, I don't know how to, like, explain it well because... Yeah.
Right, but, like, that feeling of somehow, like, feeling superior suddenly, right, from, like, your identity as a Christian.
Yeah.
It's interesting, because it's, like, actually Christianity is about realizing how sinful you are and, like, how you don't deserve,
yeah,
like, anything that God has given. And, yeah, I guess, like, there's a lot of, what's it called, detachment there.
Mm. You see these Christians, I'm doing quotations, by the way, and they're, like, not acting the way that God would want them to. Mm. They're being judgmental, they're acting perfect, but you're saying, like, if they truly believe in the cross and they, like, are truly, like, walking with God, then they realize how imperfect they are, therefore, they can't judge others. Like, they, like, you are just as imperfect as someone who's not Christian,
right, yeah,
just
right.
Because, like, yes, you've repented, or you've gotten baptized and you have that relationship with God,
right,
you still have work to do. Mm-hmm. Like, until the very end, you still have work to do.
Period.
And yeah, that is something that a lot of people who consider themselves Christian don't realize or don't want to realize. Mm-hmm.
And I think that has ended up right with people just using that as like an umbrella lens to like,
yeah,
look at all Christians. But there is a difference between condemnation and like correction through love. Like, those are right. Two very different things. And so yeah, I think, you know, hang out with a Christian one day. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll realize, you know.
Like, it's a service. You know,
listen to a podcast one day with Christians.
Yeah. Oh, like this one?
Like, the one called Under the Hood.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, all three of us are in our third year of college. We're halfway done. We're almost there. And I feel like we've grown a lot as people. Like, if we look at how we were first year, I feel like we could all 100% say we are so different. Mm-hmm. For the better, mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Oh. What?
Side eye. That was so crazy.
That was nasty. I wish there was a camera.
Guys, Sanaa just side-eyed both of us when saying hopefully.
Please. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just kind of looking back on like first year us, can you just describe your walk with Christ first year versus now? And then what do you think changed?
That's such a loaded question. Okay, first year me, I think I was very lost, and because I was lost, I think I was, like I said earlier, seeking after that ideal college experience. So I'd be going to parties Friday and Saturday, waking up and going to church on Sunday morning. Mm. I would really feel like I was being fed by the word on Sundays and feeling. We went through, like, for instance, like the parable in Luke 8, mm. the different soils. Mm. I think I would be the
rocky.
Yeah. Mm. Rocky soil. Not quite the path, but the rocky soil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it felt like I would experience something, and then it was like the word fell away from me. Mm-hmm. And so it was because, right, my heart was, like, filled by so many different things. And it was because I was prioritizing, like, academics. I was prioritizing friendships. And I actually really didn't even realize. I thought that was, like, normal. And then I think during winter retreat where we had this one sermon where it talked about the pie chart. And it talked about how following Jesus should not be just a sliver of your life. It should actually be, like, the center of all your other slivers. That made me realize, oh, actually, yeah, my faith has just been another sliver. Even if it's like a sliver taking up 90% of my life, it still was not affecting the rest of the slivers. And so that is what I've had to work on since my first year. I think it's been like learning what it means to have God at the center, and really having to grapple with that. It's also meant having to go through a lot of humbling experiences, realizing how much I lack in humility at times. And yeah, I think now, where, how would I describe my faith? I think I am in a place where I'm like that thorny soil now. Mm. But I'm really desperately seeking to be the good soil. Mm. Even if, yeah, I think I'm still figuring out how to, you know, not be distracted by things and how to really take up my cross daily. And so, yeah, it's still difficult, but I feel a lot more secure in the sense that now I know what I want my priority to be. And, yeah, I'm trying my best to actively seek that out. And it has been really great because I think being able to grow alongside you guys has been really cool to witness. And we can still struggle together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first year, I was definitely, like, at a mental low, spiritual low. I tried doing those things that I thought would, like, make me happy. And I was like, this is not for me. So, at that point, because you know, I grew up Christian. I had all these so-called Christian figures in my life, but then I saw, like, who they really were as people, which is why you shouldn't place your faith in man, but place your faith in God. But because I saw that, I was just like, Christians are all hypocrites, bro. Like, they are not these perfect beings, and I don't want to be part of this, you know? So I was very inconsolable, because I was like, well, God's not gonna make my life perfect. All these other things that I keep doing is not making my life perfect. I guess my life is just
meaningless.
It's just not a good life, you know? But now, that was such a sad, now it's like, I don't know, I used this word before, but I feel very fulfilled. Like, the part about that you said about putting Jesus at the center, I feel like he's definitely there now. It's weird because I feel like I'm such a different person than I was my first year, which is really a testament to how the word changes you and how far my mindset has gone, because I was somebody who didn't think anybody could change. I was like, people are born the way they are and they stay like that forever. No one really changes. But hey, look at me. Look at me, guys.
Oh, she didn't say other people. She said
She said just her. Okay.
That's not actually what I meant. My words are getting twisted. Whatever.
I think in my first year, just, like, looking back, I feel like I am a completely different person. First year, like, I was not, Christ was not at my center. Like you mentioned, like, the pie chart thing. He was not in all the elements of my life. And the Christian God element was literally the tiniest sliver of a pie. Like, I mean, minuscule. And that was literally just me showing up to church on Sunday. And that was to the extent of, like, my faith, I feel. Yeah, I kind of did the same thing. Party, Friday, Saturday. I'm gonna keep it real. Sometimes a little hungover Sunday. I'm so serious. Yeah, and so I feel like because of how I chose to spend those 2 days prior, I wasn't fully in it when I was at church on Sunday. Whether it was because I felt guilty for what I did, like, 24 hours ago, or whether it was because I just, like, couldn't focus. And so, yeah, I they did a sermon, and they were talking about how, like, college students who, like, are Christian, sometimes they live that, like, double life, and they try to juggle both and not let those two lives mix together. Like, they're like, I gotta keep this other half secret. And I definitely feel like that was me. And I was like, I could not juggle both. And, you know, yeah, I guess eventually I realized I had to give that party side up, like, if I really wanted to take my relationship with God seriously. And I feel like that decision, like, really, like, yeah, changed me as a person. I feel like now God is in all elements of my life, you know, academics, everything. And it's like, even sometimes when I got stressed, I wouldn't go to God. I would just try to, like, handle it myself. But I feel like now I'm so, like, comfortable in my faith to where I can trust in him to, like, help me and not really bear all that stress and burdens on my own. So it makes not forgetting him easier. And yeah, I think that's something that's, like, made me grow as a Christian, like, going into my third year. Like, I feel more confident, you know, going into third year and all the stresses that come along with it, because I know that I can go to him when I'm stressed. Yeah.
I just want to mention before, you know, we end this segment, just, like, the fact that I've known Sanaa since before first year even started. I think, like, sometimes when I am just reflecting on myself, it can be hard to, like, feel that I've changed that much. But then it's, like, when I look at people around me and see how much they have changed, it's sort of, like, I realize, like, oh, yeah, we've actually grown all together. So it's been really, it's been cool to see all of us just, like, yeah, even Alana, like, since just, like, last year even, just seeing how much that we've, like, gone through, and like, even though we're still struggling, right, I think we like can rely on each other a bit more and like just be more honest, I think, about where we are in our walk. And so, you know, the fact that Sanaa and I were in the same friend group first year, we, even though like there's like a part, right, where like we have different like walks, like it's cool to see the same starting point almost, and then now see how we're like on the same path again.
Yeah,
it's just a little cute illustration.
Yeah, so I feel like we've talked about a lot of good things and just like how we've learned like about life and like being a Christian and learning from our experiences that we've had so far in college. Is there any advice you want to give to fellow Christians in college, anyone who's entering college and, you know, is Christian, just, you know, based off of what you went through?
The way they all turn to me. You know, I'm finna spit. I would say... to my fellow Christian gals in college, I would say find a church. I think people think, and I did think this as well, that I could be Christian like without going to church. But I think you mentioned this earlier, Lauren, about like going through things together and like struggling together, or having people hold you accountable, that's really good. Or just having people to go to, period, whether that be for fun stuff or like not so fun stuff. I think it's really good. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the church that's closest to you. Like, just find the church that you're like, yeah, this is not only challenging me spiritually, but they're actually going by the book. And, you know, I feel like I know people when I come on Sundays. I would say when you're being delivered, don't beat yourself up. You will be delivered from whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Or that prayer that you think is unanswered right now, it will eventually get answered. And if it's not, it means it wasn't for you. Sorry, that's not kind of mean. But, like, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. Because it's in God's hands, bro. This has nothing to do with you.
I just want to say, this is just Alana's personality. She means it with the warmest of hearts. Lauren, do you have something to say?
I'm scared to go after you.
Okay. I was also going to say the part about finding a church community. Not just a church as in a building, but like a church as in a body of Christ that like you can actually plug yourself into. And then I think just like add like another step to that is to show up even when you don't want to show up. Because I feel like it's always those days where you're like, oh, like another hour of sleep, or like, oh, I have that like piece that I have to do, and you don't end up coming. And I think it's actually like in those times of testings where you should be going. And even when it feels like, right, like, oh, I'm not going to get anything from church, or I don't really want to go, even in those moments, I think God can still, right, like speak to you, even if it doesn't feel like it. Yeah, and then also last thing is to just be honest and ask questions if you have questions. Like, yeah, be honest with yourself too about where you are with God, and take time to like actually sit down and reflect. And yeah, that would, I think that would be the basic advice, right? Because then it all starts from there.
Yeah, I feel like those were honestly like really good pieces of advice that we probably all wish we had when we came into college. I think also just like adding on to that, just like setting non-negotiables, kind of just like like kind of based off of, like what you said about like those days when like you really don't feel like going to church. If you set going to church every Sunday, no matter what, as your non-negotiable, you'll eventually find it so easy to like default go to church. Like, I feel like there were so many days, especially during exam season, where I would just stop showing up like first year. And going to second year, I set it as a non-negotiable. I was like, no matter how stressed I am academic wise like, I'm gonna go to church Sunday. And I feel like it honestly, it did strengthen my walk with Christ. But also, you need to give yourself a break. Like, you're like, if
you're probably grinding like 24/7. Let Sunday just be that day where you can just like be with God. Mm-hmm. Just give yourself that rest day, because you do need to take breaks every once in a while. So I feel like it's also good in that element. Yeah, just setting non-negotiables. And I feel like you can really grow as a person if you do that. And then second, being completely, I think Lauren said something very similar, being completely honest about like who you are and like how you're imperfect. I think that was something I didn't realize was necessary as being a Christian and like coming to Voyage, which is the church we go to. We are very open about our struggles. We're open about like, yeah, our imperfections. And I feel like if you don't acknowledge what you're struggling with and how you're imperfect, then you can't truly grow as a Christian. So yeah, that acknowledgement is first. Like, just don't put on a mask. Like, I know it's like really easy to do and we all have a tendency to put it on just like out of shame, but don't put on a mask and just like really try to like heal yourself as a person and not just try to cover it up. And I feel like then you can like really go through this college experience like and like progress like as a person.
And just to add on to the church thing, be so for real. Even when you don't go to church and you think you don't have time, think about all those times you're bed rotting, scrolling on your phone, yapping to your friends. If you add up all that time, you could have been going to church and filling yourself with the Spirit. So,
like, so Lauren can say that to the people, but everything I said,
I was about to say that was giving Alana.
Like, I just have to say it because there's so many excuses you can make where you're like, oh, I can't fit this in, but then you can somehow find time to fit in your texting, your TikTok scrolling, your unnecessary conversations with your roommate. Like, I think there's a lot of room for God, and yeah, there's not really any good justification, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
And we're saying this as clarification, we are saying this as people who also struggle with this so much.
Like, somebody needed to clock me like that.
Yeah, and no one did, but we're clocking you right now.
Check your screen time right now. If it is more than 2 hours, you could have been in church.
Is 2 hours like high?
Oh, let me check mine.
No, I'm saying like church service is like maybe 2 hours. And if you've been on your phone for more than that, you could easily have gone. You know what I mean?
Oh, she's eating. Yeah. She's preaching a little.
Yeah, we talked about a lot today, and I feel like we got into some really juicy, really serious topics that I feel like just is very relatable as a Christian, and I hope you guys could also relate to as well. Yeah, and I just want to thank Lauren and Alana for coming on today and opening up about, your experiences as a Christian in college. Any final words from our guests today?
Thank you for having us.
Guys, everything I'm saying is gonna be cut. Like, they're actually policing my language. Free Alana, hashtag.
Thanks for tuning in. Freedom of speech.